Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, welcome back again. You're with Reverend Dr. Floyd D. Harris Jr. That's Dr. Harris Black Lives Matter Show. We are broadcasting from the San Joaquin Valley of Fresno, California, the Golden West Side of the San Joaquin Valley. We're here once again. We're coming a little early today. We usually come around 8 o'clock Pacific time, but our guest today had a time situation that we had to start the show at 1:30 today. And so, you know, we're just here again, once again, you know, doing it moving like we usually do. We're happy that those of you who are tuning in right now, giving us some love right now. I want to give a shout out to Dr. Jean Kennedy, the founder of Real Talk with the Number One Doctor. She's the co-founder with me of that radio show that we used to do about 2 years ago. We met a lot of good people on that show. We grandfathered shows out of Real Talk with the Number One Doctor. We give different people shows across the country. And, you know, it's good to be back on the line again. We just trying to build something. We're just trying to build some type of consciousness within the black community here in Fresno. You know, I was talking to one of my colleagues today about Fresno, and I said, you know, I said, one of the things I'm looking at right now is that we always talk about the negative things in the community, which, you know, we have to talk about, you know, different issues in the community. I said, but you know, I said, something is telling me that we need to give just as much conversation to the assets that is in our community, right? The assets. You know, we always, oh, this is bad, that's bad, oh, why is this going on? Why is that going on? This person makes me mad, or I don't like this person because of this reason. And, you know, I mean, sometimes it just gets to be annoying. And so I told my colleague today, I said, you know, I like to do some shows around what are the assets, black assets that we have in our community today. I think that the assets is something that's positive. I think assets are something that we can pass on to our children. I believe assets are things that, you know, we invest in. So it's important that we continue to build assets in the African-American community. So, for instance, you know, what businesses do we have in the African-American community right now in Fresno? Well, I can think of a couple. Best Taxes. I mean, Brother Best, he's, you know, he opened up a tax firm. Fresno Freedom School is another asset we have in the community. We have many churches that is in the community. We have what else kind of assets do we have here in the community? We have we have a high school called Edison High School that is an asset in our community.
We have Kelly's Barbershop, which is another asset in our community. We have, what else we have? Chef Paul. We have Chef Paul, which is another asset in the African American community. What else assets do we have? Mr. Kelly's Barbershop is another asset that we have in our community. So, you know, I just think it's important that we, you know, we talk about the negative, and not saying we don't need to not talk about the negative, but I think, you know, we have to give it some balance to be able to say, hey, you know, yes, things are bad, but, you know, we do have this going on, but we do have that going on. I mean, there was once a time that, you know, West Fresno did not have a library. You know, now we have a library. So that's an asset. You know, the Fresno Freedom School, you know, our Freedom School teach youth how to farm, you know, get into the ag. We put over 116 kids in the black colleges, you know, here in the community here in Fresno. So assets, what are the assets that we have in our community today? You know, and that's one of the reasons why we're having a show today. You know, everything doesn't have to be controversial. You know, I think one of the things that people look at me, you know, I think first of all, you need to get to know me, okay? Let me just put that disclaimer out there. I think that, you know, I speak truth to power. I haven't sold out my black community in 34 years, and not going to sell out our black community. You know, if I have to, you know, deal with the mayor office or deal with the mayor office or the chief of police of Fresno, I just have to deal with them, you know. So, you know, I just think that people need to get to know me before you judge me, because I think that you'll find out that we have a lot in common. I just happen to be a brother, a revolutionary brother that's just not scared of nothing but the Creator. You know, I treat everybody with respect, not that I get treated with respect, but it is what it is. You know, I have to be able to deal with certain issues at certain times. I can't lose my cool. You know, even though I may get upset or get mad, I can't show it, and sometimes I do show it, you know. Show it in a respectful manner, not being disrespectful or anything like that, you know. I have a right to be upset about something that I don't like. I have a right to protest if I don't like something. And so, you know, it just brings me to why we have our show today. You know, we just started this show, Dr. Harris Black Lives Matter Show, here broadcasting from Fresno, California, which I renamed my city to Mississippi Fresno. We've been interviewing people up down Route 99. We have some projects coming up that I hope that some of you will take part in to help rebuild the fiber in our community. So, you know, like I said, you know, I'm not about talk. I'm about action. I'm tired of talking. I'm tired of going to meetings. I want to see, you know, entrepreneurs. I want to see young black men and black women going into business. You know, we need to support them businesses. And so there's a mindset that I think that we need to start developing in order to liberate. You know, the motto of Freedom Schools, we educate, motivate, energize, organize, and mobilize to take our youth to a higher level. And that's what we do. And so that same concept we can use in the community. You know, we can educate the community, motivate the community, energize the community, mobilize the community. You know, all those things we can do to make a healthy community. And so I believe our caller is on the line. This sister here I met, just a beautiful, I don't know. She I don't want to make her smile right now or blush, but, you know, she's just such a you know, we call our women queens, you know. And, you know, every time I see her, she's like a rose. She's just something about her character, something about her demeanor, something about her integrity. It's just that every time I see her, you know, I just get, like, I smile, you know. So, you know, like, some people you see, like, you frown. But but this sister, she's just like a rose. You go outside and your little flower bed and you see a nice, pretty rose. That's what she reminded me of, you know. And she's always positive. She's been out to the Freedom School. She bought produce from the Freedom School. She's donated her time to take some pictures for the Freedom School. And by the way, she's a photographer by trade. I mean, she takes some of the most beautiful pictures I've ever seen in my life. And she gave me a picture for my birthday, I believe. Every time I wake up in the morning, I see it. And then she sent me some more pictures that you all may see that's rotating on the screen right there. She took all of those pictures, you know, and she made a, like a, what do you call that, like a film or something with rotating pictures. And I happened to be in one of them. And I, when I seen my picture, I scared myself. I'm like, oh, is that me? But anyway, she's a very, very busy. I thought I was busy, but this sister is busy. And, you know, usually we start our shows at 8 o'clock at night, but I just hope that you all would still continue to follow us, even though we're going at 1:30 today, and continue to support Dr. Harris and Black Lives Matter Show. We deal with community issues. We deal with facts. We deal with the hardcore issues that most folks don't want to talk about. But, you know, we need to find the assets in our community. And I strongly feel, as I bring my sister on, that she's an asset, you know. And, again, we talk about the negative things in our community, but we need to also talk about the assets in our community. And so I'm going to bring her on right now. For those of you who want to call in to the Dr. Harris Black Lives Matter Show, 619-924-0872. And we're going to go ahead and bring our sister in. Welcome to Dr. Harris Black Lives Matter Show. Are you there with us today, Sister Denise?
Blessings. Can you hear me?
Hey.
Hello?
There you are.
Thank you for your sweet sweet comments and observations. I appreciate it.
Did I get a blush and a smile out of you?
Yes, thank you. You added to the smiles I was already having today. I woke up and I said, oh, let me smile because I woke up.
Welcome to our show. It is just so an honor to have you on our show. I know you're very busy, and I told our followers that, you know, because of time and things that, you know, 8 o'clock was just too, you know, wasn't a good time, and I didn't want to keep putting it off. And so those can go back and archive and listen to the show. But, you know, I can't even remember where I met you at. It really doesn't matter. But I'm glad I met you because you bring a whole different element to the community as an asset. And that was one of the statements I told one of my colleagues today. I said, we need to talk about the assets you know, who's doing positive work in the community? Who's, you're a photographer, you know, you take these beautiful pictures and things. Tell us about yourself. Tell us what you're doing. You know, what made you get into photography? You have the floor.
No, thank you. Thank you. And thank you for putting your focus in an area that will allow more to grow, because that's basically what I've chosen to do, and it hasn't been something that's been easy. It's been challenging. I just choose to focus on the beauty of our people, the beauty of Fresno, and I've been blessed to have the vision way back in 2005 when I was blessed again to work with the community, and we put out the BBS calendar, which stands for Beautiful Black Skin. That was way back in 2005, a long time ago. And I got into photography because I was taking classes for a graphic designer at Fresno City, and they made us take a black and white photography course, which I wasn't too thrilled to get involved with. But it was part of the course requirement, and I'm a big thrift store shopper. Found a my first Canon camera, Canon AI film, for $60. I think it was $60, which was a lot back then, but I did it. And I shot most of those series of calendars with that camera. It was film. People were going into digital. And the reason why I ended up falling in love with photography is because you could stop a moment. You could stop a moment of happiness. And I have this picture of my three children, Sheena, who I had at the age of 17. I had just turned 17, so I was a teen mom. And then I had my two boys before I was 21. So as a real single parent, because it was the 80s, and so my husband got caught up with what was being introduced to our community back then, crack. So he wasn't able to be the man that he was raised to be, and I had to raise all three of my kids. Knowing this, I decided to choose a skill versus getting a degree so that I could, you know, bring in income in addition to whatever other income I could get. So fell in love with photography and decided to pursue that full force. And, again, that came with its challenges. But job was good, job blessed, and got me a job with a leading photography school called Brooks Institute. No longer there, but when I got hired on, that school had been there for 60 years. Born and raised out of Madera, moved my kids to Fresno. I had never been to, didn't even hear of Santa Barbara. Drove over to Santa Barbara for my training, and I literally had to pinch myself. I could not believe that such a beautiful place existed in California. and I couldn't believe that I was working for, like, this school where I was going to learn from the top people in the industry. But every time we had a class, every time there was a subject to study, they were all colonizers. All of them. There were no art pieces of us. And if there were pictures of us, it was pictures of, like, African or, you know, not, and although I saw the beauty in it, to me, I felt like the viewpoints in their history books were basically they were better than us, and they photographed it as such. So I decided to take in as much of that information, tech and business and creativity, anything I could. I moved to Santa Barbara without my three children. My son, my youngest son, was still in high school, and he wanted to stay. And my daughter, who has been a huge asset to BB3 photography, she kind of cared for my son while I was in Santa Barbara trying to pursue and put in the work to be where I'm at today and not necessarily success monetary wise. That is, I do not count my blessings based off of that, because there's no measure. And my bank account will tell you, you know, I'm with the poverty, but the blessings that I'm able to see every single day are priceless. So going over there, getting that education, and then I had made it in my mind that I was going to come back to Fresno and bring everything that I gained from that and do what I could to make sure our people were photographed. Our families look like magazines, you know, cover of a magazine. And that our city would be seen. Our, you know, some of the rotating images that you have on the show website right now, one of them is of Hyde Park, bright in the morning sunrise. I love that piece.
Wow.
You know, the security bank building, that's probably something that a lot of my work, you can see that bank building. And that's because long after I'm gone, 5, 10 generations later, I want people to know when they see these pictures, hopefully that people have printed and put up in their home, where were you at? That was Fresno. That was Fresno before the high-speed rail that coming through. That was Fresno before, and we were here. And we look beautiful. Not what the society and the media likes to portray. So I'm thankful. John knew my purpose from the time that I had to leave my son, and I was criticized by all kinds of people, family, friends, for making that move. I'm just thankful I followed through with the vision. And now I'm able to help my daughter with her children, help my son with his and my other son. So I'm thankful. I'm really thankful. And thank you. Thank you for having me on here. You're doing good work too.
You know, I was just sitting there listening to you, and my mind was just like, you were talking about the different landmarks and, you know, going through the pictures that you take. It's like, if you wasn't from Fresno, you would think that these pictures were taken, like, I don't know, in another city or another state. And it's like, how beautiful you make the background. And one thing that you were telling me about lighting, I was like, oh, you look a pretty picture. And you're like, oh, it's the lighting. Anyway, I'm not going to give a light off, but I get a lot of real credit, but not all the credit. Y'all just may be beautiful, okay? That's just the bottom line. But my point is that you have an eye for pictures. I mean, you have, like, what I'm saying is you have an eye for background drops, right? Like, you know, it could be a sunset or it could be whatever, and it's like a, you know, a sunset photo is like at a certain time of the day, right? So you're waiting for that sun to come down to get that perfect picture of the sun or a background drop of someone in the picture. And it's like, it's very creative to just look at the different pictures that you have taken to just see. Again, I'm talking about assets. You are an asset to our community, and we need to value you as an asset of our community. We need to appreciate you as an asset of our community, and we need to hire you as an asset of our community. And this is one of the things that, you know, we're talking about, you know, Black Lives Matter, like, you know, hey, every life matters, especially Black folks, because of the 400 years of lynching, murder, slavery, you know. And so I just really commend you for, and I know it hasn't been easy. I mean, I have my own construction company. You know, I built it from the ground up with my bare hands when nobody was there. And I understand when you start talking about sacrifice, how, you know, you may have to sacrifice time from your family to really pursue, because you don't have the vision, right? You have the vision.
Yeah. The visions are given to us from the Most High. And I think sometimes, I feel like everybody has a vision. But what happens is we get caught up. We get caught up in this Babylonian-type society. And people say, well, I can't follow my vision. And so some of those people, they're inspired by other people following their vision. But then there's some of those people who get annoyed because you're following your vision. And I'm really big about us coming together. Come together. The difference between a photographer and an artist is how they actually, what they see. So I try to help us to see it. Being a photographer is not just about taking pictures. Yes, that's great and that's wonderful, but what are you telling with your pictures? What's the story? For me, for what was given to me, the story was to show how beautiful we as human beings, part of the original, if you want to say Adam and Eve, how beautiful we are today. And despite how some people may feel it's done or not done, I'm going to keep with my vision. And I hope that it inspires more of us to say, okay, let me hire this person because they have a vision. What is their vision? It doesn't have to be just photography. You were talking about construction. What's his vision? What's his purpose? To get a paycheck or to make sure that we have excellent buildings, homes, you know, to show our excellence. Because my excellence is your excellence. Our excellence. And,
you said your excellence is what?
That was Ralph Smart. I can't take credit for that quote. So let me tell you exactly how it was. I don't know if you ever pay attention to Ralph Smart, but he's pretty amazing. I'm trying to see where I'm. He said, "My excellence is your excellence."
My excellence is your excellence.
Your excellence.
Who said that?
Ralph Smart. My excellence is your excellence. I'll send you the link to that because I know I have it.
Okay, so Ralph Smart, it sounds like the brother Ralph Smart has caught your attention with that quote. So my question to you is, with the quote from Ralph Smart, your excellence is my excellence, what is it from your perspective?
My excellence is your excellence. My excellence is your excellence.
My excellence is your excellence.
Right.
Okay. Now, so my question to you is, with you in this compassion that you do, what is it from that quote that you can take out of and pull it into you and make some type of inspiration to you? What is it about that quote that caught your attention that you're applying to what you do when you take photos?
You want the raw and authentic truth?
Yeah.
I'll give it to you. Our problem is we don't love ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
We choose to put whatever type of 99-cent special at McDonald's, Burger King, Kentucky Fried Chicken. We choose to put whatever crap in our bodies, but we will take that that Range Rover over to the gas station, and we will put the top gas in that car because we want that car to last and to keep running. But our bodies, we go and we put in the cheapest stuff, and so what goes in comes out. So what happens is those people who haven't had a real love for themselves, they tend to not be able to appreciate what other people are doing to show how beautiful we are, gods and goddesses, because we were made in his image. So me because sometimes people aren't comfortable with looking as good as they do in a portrait, especially when I take their picture. And it may not be the person I'm photographing because we have great energy, but there have been those that I photographed and they decided to go other ways, and that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. Just keep getting your picture taken. And sometimes I've posted and I've had people tell me, oh, please, can you not post because they don't want people talking about their picture. And their picture is beautiful, gorgeous, not because I took it, but because that's what I saw and that's who you are when I'm photographing you. But because there's so much self-hate going on around here, there's so many people thinking that they got to look this way or have this or that in order to be beautiful. They can't see the beauty in it. All they can see is criticize. And it's unfortunate. So when we start to say, when we take care of ourselves, when we start to say, I'm going to feed the best of my body no matter what it takes, I'm going to make my own food, like what you're doing with your freedom students, that's a revolution. That's the real revolution. Marching on the streets and all that stuff don't work. If it worked, we wouldn't have the crap going on that we do now. And I'm saying crap because I know I'm trying to be, you know, I'm trying to be keep it PG-13. But
we keep it real with Dr. Has Black Lives Matter show. Hey, you say it, you own it, we rolling with it. So we be real, we be 100, we don't stress to nobody. So however you want to say it, you know, you just say it. We roll it.
Thank you. Yeah, that quote, My Excellence is Your Excellence, from Ralph Smart, I was watching his YouTube video, How to Air Your Dirty Laundry. And when I photograph people, I don't know. I don't know who's baby mama, who's baby daddy. I don't know who speaks to who don't speak to who. I don't know none of that, and I don't want to know any of it. The only thing I want to know is today you made the time to come out, to get dressed, to make your baby, do your baby's hair, get dressed in nice clothes, and we're going to go and we're going to find a spot in Fresno, and we're going to take this picture, and we're going to show how beautiful everybody in your family is today. That's all I know. I don't know what they know about me. They can know, you know, all kinds of things, say all kinds of things about me. She don't have a car because she sold her car to go off to be wherever she ended up being. Nope, I don't have a car. I cycle, and I'm okay with it. You know why? Because I'm not giving any more money to this government until they start realizing that they got to treat their people better. So if I can cycle wherever I cycle, I'm going to cycle wherever I cycle, downtown, do photo shoots. And if I pay somebody to give me where I need to go, Google Park, let's say, I'm going to pay my daughter like she's Uber. So the money that comes in, if we want to call it money, I call it blessing. So if it comes in, I'm going to do my best to make sure 80% of it stays within our community. I hope that other people do the same. But none of us out here are any better than the next person. Everybody is on their own journey. So the one thing I don't engage in drama. I refuse to. I did it too many years. Come on, I was a teen mom. So from the time of being 16 pregnant and having to deal with the backlash of that, so now actually on Sunday, the 13th, I'll be 51. I like peace. I like love. I like joy. But if anybody is not on that level, I can't deal with it. I got to block it.
Wait, I thought I heard you say something. I'm trying to get clarity. You said that you're turning 51.
On Sunday, yes. Praise God, God will, yes. 51.
This Sunday will be the 13th
yes.
of January.
Yes.
And you're telling me you're turning 51 years old?
51, yes.
5'1", I just want to make sure.
1968, that's my birth year, yes.
I'm 51 years old. 51.
51, yes.
How in the world, you're telling me today, January 11th, that you're going to be 51 years old on January 13th, 2019, when you look like you're in your 20s.
Ah, you're being too kind. Thank you.
I want everyone that's listening to this radio show to go to the board and look at the rotating pictures, and specifically the one that she's smiling in, that she want to give all the credit to.
Well, that one I was younger.
I don't see any difference. But
thank you.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. All right. Okay, y'all. I'll leave it alone. Okay. All right. But anyway,
It's a good point that you bring up, because I am 51 and I don't have any medications as far as man-made medication. I don't believe in man-made medication for everything. I do think that there are some things that does help, but for the most part, Jah has given us everything on the earth in order for us to live long and live strong. And it's only when we take ourselves away from what he has provided for us, he or she, Jehovah, Jesus, whatever you want to call the higher power that calls you within to be good, that right there has given us everything. The earth has given us, but we have turned our back on the earth. We have turned our back. And so a lot of the things that we experience as a people is because we have turned our back on earth. So when we start going back to the earth and all things, food, medicine, you know, being outside versus being cooped up in a car or being cooped up in a house or in a gym, you know, those things are great, but we gotta get back to reconnecting to the earth. And when you know, how many, if you do an aerial, if you look on Google and do an aerial view of the West Side, you will see lots of backyard land. And you know what you don't see, though? You don't see no gardens. You see fruit trees about to die. You don't see people taking care of the property, whether you're renting or you're owning. We have lost that, because it's too easy to go down to Food Max and pay for that food that's been sprayed with a bunch of poison for us to go and get that. Then for us to say, you know what, I'm going to go and work in my garden like grandma used to. Now I'm a grandma. My kids call me, my grandbabies call me Gigi. Where I live, I don't own the home, but you wouldn't know it. My neighbors think I do. But I don't own it. It belongs to another family. So when we get back to going to earth, when we get back to saying, okay, what can we do to really make an impact for our community? When we go back to doing those things versus riding on it in order to, you know, do some sort of event where everybody's just trying to mingling, but nobody is really doing anything. What are you doing? You can march and do all the things that you're doing, which I think, my first time seeing you, I didn't know who you were. You were doing a protest in front of the police department, and I had rolled my bike to go see how things were. I'm an observer, and I was observing how it was happening. I was really pretty impressed with the crowd you had out there and the boldness to speak your truth right there in front of the police department, which I thought was great. But I think that following up with what you're also doing with the students at the Freedom School and you know, opening yourself up to the community more and more by encouraging them to come to your farmers market. Those are the things. Those are the things that are really the foundation. Those are the foundation. Teaching our children how to create their own food.
Well, there you have it. There you have it. There you have it.
Oh, and being vegan. And being vegan. Being vegan. Don't harm the animals on your plate. You know, if you have love on your plate, you consume love. If you have life on your plate, then you have life inside you, and you look younger. I mean, we already know, you know. Lots of people are going to look younger anyway, but to be able to feel it and not be on medication.
I'm not even going to have that conversation no more.
But, yeah.
My listening audience, I tried to give her all love, and she wants to tell me, oh, no. So I'm not even going to get into that one, but. So basically, what I'm hearing you say is that life, how you live, the decisions you make in life affects your health.
Absolutely.
What you eat, what you don't eat, what you drink, what you don't drink. The herbs.
Absolutely.
The land, the water.
Absolutely.
And those
100.
And those decisions that many of us, and I'm working, sorry, I'm working.
I'm guilty too.
But,
I have a tumor that looks the size of a pregnancy, and one of these days I will be free. I'm guilty too, but that's the wonderful thing. If it is our decision, then we are our own solution. We don't have to get the solution from the colonizer who might be the doctor. We don't have to get the solution from somebody who is Babylonian influence, because all that matters is how much money they make, not whether you get healed and don't have to come back no more. We have the ability to be our own solution.
Solution. That's an interesting word, solution. We were talking about that word today with my colleagues. And, you know, I don't know why the Creator keeps dumping stuff on me, but I have enough to do. And it's like, here I am now organizing, assisting with, you know, putting together the 60, it's called a 60, the elder circle, 60 elder circle, bringing them together, trying to figure out what can we do to help our youth that's out here killing one another.
I'll tell you, if you plan on having food, the first thing you can do at that meeting is make sure it's vegan. These people that are coming together, that would be a good start. That would be a great start.
Okay. And then we're organizing the piece where I wanted 20 strong black men to walk with me in the hood community. And some has contacted me, and we're going to be meeting, and then we're going to be walking the hood, the community, on the 21st. And then, you know, taking resources out to our young people in areas that people call gang areas, but they really are family, someone family. And so, you know, then I'm dealing with the Poor People's Campaign, which is a national campaign coming from New York. And just, it's like, but on this journey, what I'm doing is I'm really empowering a lot of other people. You know, I believe building from the bottom up, not the top down. I believe in empowering those who feel marginalized, those who feel they don't have a voice, you know, those who feel that, you know, what they say doesn't matter. And so you're right. You know, I this morning, since we're talking about health, you know, my team, some of my Freedom School board members was at the gym this morning, 4:30. You know, on the treadmill. You know, walking, talking. You know, networking with one another. And I came in, I snuck in on them, I put them on Facebook Live, and they're trying to cover their face up, and, you know, I go, oh, that's how y'all look in the morning. But anyway, it was all fun. And, but, you know, as I told them, I said, you know, we're in a war. We're in a war internally with our bodies. We're in a war with government. I said, we're in a war fight sickness. We're in a war trying to eat the right things. We're in a war with, you know, packing houses that's in our community, dead animals. I said, we're in a war with police brutality. We're in a war with black-on-black crime. I said, so we have to be physically, mentally, socially, financially, spiritually ready to go to war. I said, because that's what we're in. Each and every day we wake up. I mean, just look at it. The government is shut down. The entity that runs our country is shut down right now. There's no money being given out.
So with that being said, with the government being shut down, remember, I don't know how familiar, I don't want to go too deep, but let's just put it this way. If only the strong survive. The strong are people who are strong-minded, and you can be strong-minded, but if your health ain't there, then your mind will get weak. So you have to have be healthy. You have to be a person who is exercising. You have to be a person who's disciplined to put something on their plate correctly. You have to be somebody who's versed in getting, you know, information surrounding yourself around people who are willing to elevate. You have to be around that. And you have to be somebody who can make your own food. Okay, so if everybody on the west side, because that's where I live in 92706, so if all of us are making our own gardens and the government shut down, that's time to sit back, don't go to work, chill, let's have a party. We still got food.
Right. That's exactly what you just said. That's exactly what I told my people. I said, you know,
I got to put this in there. But if we are not ready, if we are still taking the food they give us, which is filled with poison, cancer, the sugar is the number one feeder to cancer. If you got a family member who got cancer and you want to get rid of them, all you got to do is take them a bunch of chocolate cake. If that's their favorite, they'll be gone. If you got children and you don't really care to raise your baby longer than 10, 12, 15, whatever, you don't really care, or you don't care if you're around for them, then you keep eating the chocolate cake you love.
Okay,
what I'm saying is, if we want to be around in order to lead, whether it be speaking in front of a large group of people, which you're excellent at doing, or whether it be taking pictures, which is something I love to do, then we have to take care of ourselves. We have to be the people to say, I'm going to grow my own food. So no matter what it takes, I'm going to eat this salad. I'm going to learn one dish that I can, one day out of the week, I'm going to make it so that we don't have no type of dead animal, no bones, no blood, no none of that. I'm going to make sure I'm eating life so I can be ready for this revolution. Ready. I haven't done it in a long time before. For a while there, I would be walking in the morning really early, and people used to stop and ask if I was in the Army. And I would say yes to them, not this Army, but Jaw Army, because it, you're right. We are in a spiritual warfare. And the more we take care of ourselves, the more we
We are winning. We are winning.
Well, there we have it, ladies and gentlemen, from all over the world. We're broadcasting from Fresno, California. Well, Dr. Harris, Black Lives Matter Show. We're into a deep discussion here about dead animals and what to eat and what not to eat, and what we eat has a big effect on our health. And you know, again, we're 619-924-0872. Please call in. I did see a caller up there, but they hung up, I believe. But you know, we're here with, again, I started the show talking about assets. What is an asset? An asset is something that is good. It is something that we invest in. It's something that is good to us personally. It's something that's good to our community. An asset. And so we have today our sister with us who has a photography business. And is that
Liberty.
The right terminology?
Liberty.
Huh?
No, I don't like calling it business. I don't like calling it business. It's a liberty.
Okay.
Rasta,
this is
my liberty. 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 This is how I live. Liberty.
Liberty. Okay, I want to make sure I get the terminology right. Okay, liberty.
Liberty. Liberty.
Right.
Anything that we do that helps us to live is our liberty. So I don't call the degree a business. It's not a business. It's a liberty.
Okay.
It's a way of
liberty.
Life for me.
Okay. We have our sister with. Okay, liberty. All right, okay, I'll get it here pretty soon. All right. We're going to call it liberty. So, you know, that's the thing of growing and growing internally, growing, you know, the right terminology of things. You know, people, I was talking to a sister down in Hanford, and she told me this morning, she called me, you know, Sister Sharon, and she's come on our show. She's been at our Freedom School. She drives down from Hanford to support us. And we're trying to figure out how we can support her down in that area that I call Mississippi Hanford now. And so she called and she said, you know, Hansel, I've been thinking, you know, and this and that. And she said, it just really dawned on me this morning. I've heard you say revolutionary, but it just clicked in my head what it really means. And you know, it was just kind of a off conversation. Like someone just called you and said, well, I really know what it means. Now you call yourself a revolutionary, and I'm like, okay. And I said, you know, I'm here to revive. When someone is big, when someone has unfortunately have a heart attack, the ambulance is called. They come in and do an assessment. They hook up all these little things to your chest and whatever, and they rub these two, I don't know what it is, things together, and they put it on your heart, and they say, clear, and they send electricity into your heart to try to get your heart to start pumping again. Is that right? And they're trying to revive you because your symptoms, there's no pulse. Your heart has stopped. And it says, this is the only thing we can do now is hook up this electric, I don't even know the right terminology for it, and we put it on your chest, and we say, clear, and we're going to send electricity through your body to try to revive you because you're dead. And that's what I try to do in the community. I try to revive people with the knowledge that I have. I'm learning every day, even from you. So I learn from you. You inspire me. You challenge me. I see you at the farmer's market, and I'm looking around, and I'm like, she's on her bike.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes I don't have the car, so.
But I understand and I can respect why you ride your bike. Because you say, you know, I'm not going to contribute to the environmental racism with the exhaust of a car and smog and, you know,
and
I'm
taxes,
gonna ride my
taxes
bike.
That I have to. The taxes I got to pay on the car, the taxes I got to pay on the registration, the taxes I got to pay on any ticket, the taxes I got to pay on the gas, I'm refusing to pay for it.
Right.
Right.
But look at, okay, let's take a case scenario here. We want to thank everyone for tuning in right now, those who are on live stream. We just thank you for taking time out today. I know you're used to me coming on at 8 o'clock, but we had to make some changes because of time conflict with Sister Denise here. And we're talking about, I seen her at the farmer's market at Sean Blackstone. She had some vegetables in her hand, right? And, you know, we were talking and different things, and she said, yeah, it was really cold, and I was trying to figure out what that was. Now, Sean Blackstone to West Fresno, say around 2-way fruit stand, cooling front home, and that area is where approximately where she lives. How many miles is that?
Well, here's the thing. I have a little mile tracker, and I, for some reason, I think it was wrong because it said 7 or 8 miles, and I feel like that it was longer. I feel like I want to say maybe closer to 9 miles, but it had said 7 miles according to my thing. But either way, that's 14.
You need a new ticker. Your ticker's broke. Get a new ticker.
I think it broke. I have to do it again.
You're giving me wrong information, then. Get a new ticker, okay? Get a font. We'll get you a new ticker. The ticker is the right information, okay? That's more than 7 miles,
yeah.
Okay? But the thing is, to those who are listening to us, how you have disciplined yourself to say, I'm not going to contribute to certain things in my life. So that means that you have disciplined yourself, right, to say, I'm not going to eat certain things. I'm not going to eat meat because I feel that killing that. Listen, this is another show, right? I mean, you know, we're here to talk about picture taking, but, you know, you brought it up about
but
the food. I wonder if she's going to talk about the food today. And you started talking about the food. So we have to have another show to talk to our listening audience around the world about why you don't eat meat and you're vegan and all this other stuff, because it's huge. It's huge. I told somebody the other day, I said, look, I said, do you know that an ape, a gorilla, bigger than it is? It's not going to eat meat. I'm eating vegetables. I said, look at a giraffe. Big and tall as a giraffe. All he eats is with his grass and with his long neck and hay or whatever. I said, look at an elephant. I said, elephant eats hay and grass. It doesn't eat meat.
No, I'm going down the line, right?
And the people are like freaking out, saying, you know, I never thought about that. I said, let me bring it home now. Let me bring it home. I'm bringing it home now. I just hit a home run. I'm going to first, second, and third. I'm coming home now. I said, look at the cow. I said, the cow, as big as a cow is, it doesn't even eat meat. I said, but we eat the cow.
And some people not only eat the cow, but they suck the cow titty juice. And that's what I call it, and I'll stand by it. It's cow titty juice that was meant for a baby cow, not us. But see, this is the
reason
I don't call myself a business.
Okay,
but let me, real quick, hold on with me.
Hold on with me. Hold on with me. Hold on with me. That milk was designed for a baby cow. It was not designed for humans. Period. All right. People won't go around and squirt the milk of their dogs that it just had. They won't go and squirt the milk and take a cup and put that in their cereal. They won't do it. It's disgusting, nasty, whatever. But people will do that with the cow that was done for business, for the colonizer who looked at John's creation, this cow so wonderfully made, and decided, how can I make a business off of that? And came up with a huge marketing campaign called Get Your Vitamin D. And on top of that, these colonizers who run these big governments, these colonizers made sure that they did everything possible that everyone got a taste of their drug. And it's big business. So I don't call DB3 photography business because I don't ever want to be confused with people who do stuff like that. Because we have a huge community now facing all kinds of problems. Not young, people are young. I'm thankful to be 51. But I may not have made it here if I didn't make the changes that I made. I said to myself, do I want to see my grandbabies? All right, well, then you got to get your ass up and get out there and do your walk. You said you're not going to take chemo because I was told I had cancer. And I chose to say, this is what I'm going to do about my own problem. Will it work for everyone? I don't know. I just know what I did for me. And I know how happy I am. And I've had a lot of tragedy when it comes to the people in my circle, inner and outer. A lot of tragedy, especially when people, the way their journey has them looking at my journey a certain way, and maybe my journey has me looking at them a certain way. That's a tragedy. And I believe that I know that happiness comes because of those changes. I don't participate in the rape that's done so that there's a dairy industry. I don't participate in that. And I know that when we start to unite and see it's bigger than somebody saying they're not going to eat animals, this is bigger than that. This is bigger. This is about us living longer, stronger, and living a life. How can you may be here my age, but maybe all your bones hurt. It hurts to get up. Because, shoot, it hurts sometimes for me to get up. So I know that's not a life. And for us to conquer, when we unite and we conquer and we take care of ourselves and we're there for each other in an abundance of ways, that's how we win. We got to stop focusing on these governments and on what's happening, what they're doing, and we got to focus on us and the strength of us.
Wow, that's deep. That you're having a deep conversation, and you know, since you brought up the food, that we're going to have another show, right? You know that, right?
I'm just put out your schedule
your calendar. I got to have another show because I started talking about meat. And so they're going to be...
Thank you to the listeners, too, because I know what I'm saying can be a little rough to hear. And
let me say this. Time out. It's not rough. We need to have a conversation. And I keep saying that over and over and over again because this country was built off thievery, murder, rape,
yes,
stolen land,
and when we stop,
lynching,
and we got to stop eating that.
So, huh?
We got to stop eating that. Everything that you just said that this country was built on is what is done to the animals. It's done to the animals, and that's what people are eating. Murder, rape, slaughter. greed, anxiety.
Okay. Okay. Let me ask you a question. Now this. I was like, I know she's gonna bring up the food today, and you did. So since you did, we got to talk about it. But you made a good point about how the industry, how the cow, right? How we eat the cow, right? And how the cow has milk, right? And then when a cow has a calf, it was meant. Right, the creator meant for the calf to get the nutrients from its mother. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is the same process, right? Of a mother, mm-hmm. I'm talking about human being now, right? Has a baby, and
mm-hmm.
the baby automatically knows to. Sense of the creator that once it's born, it ain't looking for no bottle. It's looking for the mother. Is that right? Okay,
yes.
So when now the baby comes up to the mother breast, it don't need to open its eyes and all that. It just knows to grab and pull. And when it grabs and pulls, it's grabbing the nutrients out of the mother to go inside of the baby. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So then it's the same process with a dog. When a dog
What happens? Let's go back though. What happens to the calf that these cows are now producing milk for? What happens to those calves? I'll tell you what happens. Those calves are ripped away, taken away to another building, and chilled, and then those calves are killed for veal, or not veal, I'm sorry, for the young cow, whatever it's called. I think veal is lamb. But it's baby cow, because that meat tastes different than the grown cow. So the children are ripped away from the cow. What's happening right now? What they do to the people.
I know, but this is what I'm saying.
All I'm saying is the comparison is big business. Big business. Business when it comes to the dairy industry, business when it comes to the government, because we're talking about the shutdown and revolution and on and on. So what I'm saying is there is, if you pay attention and you observe, and this is just what I'm observing, the same thing that they do with the food and how they get the food to people is the same thing that they're starting to handle the people in a more forward way. It's always been there, right? They've always taken the children, right? I've seen where they took the natives in here, they took them from the parents. Recently, right now, they're doing it. They've always done it. So I'm saying when we refuse dairy, we're refusing those types of behaviors. And we're becoming more united because then now we have to figure out, okay, well, where am I? I still like milk in my cereal. Well, now there's almond milk. There's coconut milk. There's rice milk. There's hemp milk. Almond milk. There's all these wonderful milks that are available naturally according to the way Jah intended to be, the way that we can do on our own if we are planting these plants or if we're, you know, purchasing almonds from the neighbor down the street who has an almond tree. Now we know how to make our own milk. That's why this is the revolution, because we would no longer have to rely on them as much as a lot of people rely on them now. Not because they want to, but because there was a huge ad campaign that said we must. So the revolution is us. Yes, it begins on our plate. Anything you want to be great at doing, what are you eating to make yourself great? It begins on our plate.
Are you saying the revolution begins on our plate?
Yes.
Okay. So, okay. All right. Okay. I'm holding my head right now, and I'm like pulling my, I don't have no hair, but okay. So, I wanted to get back to my dog conversation, because the same concept for the cow who has a baby calf or whatever is the same concept with a dog or with a cat or with whatever. Not whatever, but you know what I mean. That has breasts with milk. That's the point I'm trying to make. So, are you saying that somebody could have used the same concept with the dog milk as well as the cow milk and say, oh, you know, drinking this dog milk is good for you? Because the reason I say that is because someone said, oh, drinking goat milk is good. So how do you go from cow milk, goat milk? So what about the dog milk? I mean, what makes the dog milk any worse than the cow milk, or the cow milk worse than the dog milk and the goat milk? All of the milk coming from a female
Animal. Animal. A female animal. Because we, as humans, make our own milk for our species. For our other baby humans, we make our own milk for that. So why are we over there drinking the milk of other animals? That is not something our people did. That's something that did not come from us. That's big business. Let me get a bunch of cows and, you know, go ahead and do what I can and get as much as I can off of these cows. That's the federal government. Look and see how much it is with the subsidies with the dairy and meat industry when it comes to the government, how much money they give these people to do this. If you want to hit the government in the pockets, if you really want to do a shutdown, stop eating that meat. Stop eating that dairy. We'll shut them down real quick. Tell the your child is a vegetarian and tell them you don't want their milk and their cheese. Let that stuff rot. Let that stuff rot. That's how we gonna change things.
You know, yesterday I was at the Freedom School Farm, and it was, I guess, night, and my neighbor told me that there's rabbits out there at night eating, you know, they gotta eat quick. And so I came in, and I guess one of them forgot to go in, and these big old pretty nice rabbits, it's white and whatever. And I just grabbed me a garbage bag and went inside the center and grabbed me a garbage bag. And I went out there and I started picking me like two cabbage, some collard greens, some kale. So in my mind, I'm saying, so if the U.S. government shuts down Freedom School, we're going to be okay because we got food. We got food. We're not waiting on food for us, Costco, grocery store's name, food code. You know, we have our own food line. Okay? Now, see, this is what made the Native Americans so dangerous and so unique.
Yes.
Because to me, they are the only ones that know how to live off the land. Right?
Yes.
So if P&E says, we ain't giving out no more gas, we ain't giving out no more electricity, the people in the United States, other than the Native Americans, don't go crazy.
Right.
Well, Freedom School, we ain't going crazy.
I had the blessing, and I'm so thankful. I can't express that enough before I share this with you. I had the opportunity to live off the grid for a little bit, to experience that, what that was like. not necessarily live, but just it's got a taste of it. And it was wonderful to just walk out the door and pick food and go inside and make it. I was so inspired by it that I'm a huge advocate for food lawn. Food lawn is where you actually start planting instead of, you know, that nice sago palm, which, you know, is beautiful. You can add it. But why not put a tree, some sort of fruit tree? You know, what fruit tree blooms pretty that you like? Put that out there. One thing I love is the grandkids come over when it's in season and they pick all the fruit off the tree and eat it, and I still have some to share with the neighbors, and it's wonderful. It's wonderful. And so is there a fear of the government shutdown? Well, no, absolutely. But what if everybody just said, okay, well, the government shutdown, that doesn't stop us from being good to one another. That doesn't stop us from saying, well, you know, man, I have a bunch of watermelons that say, you know, that doesn't stop.
Okay, but wait a minute. You're talking about people who work for the government, the same government that's taking advantage and poisoning its people, now is not paying those people that's been promoting the destruction and the genocide of the those people who are not getting paid eventually is going to get mad and upset because the banks and all those people is going to want their mortgage and PG&E and all these other people. So they're going to get angry and they're going to start doing some things. They got to eat. So you're going to see
Who are they? The people that are going to get angry? Who are they? Are those the people that are part of that high percentage of people who, you know, they that one is at the top? I mean, who are they?
Well, if
there's a government shutdown and everybody knows there's a government shutdown, everybody knows the government shutdown, right? There is, everybody knows it. The landlord knows it. The owner knows it. As a matter of fact, the government gives their employees letters to send to their manager or to send to their, they know it, right?
Right.
So if you're the sheriff and you're supposed to oust a bunch of people out of their house because they're on government shutdown, why would you fulfill that portion of your job duty if you know it?
Well, so just like the fire department, the fire department is a clause in a contract that if there is a government shutdown, they are demanded to continue to work.
Or else?
But this is my point. We're coming down to our last 10 minutes of the show. We have got into a deep discussion, a real good discussion. I mean, we're going to have another show.
Let's just say, it all goes back to us being self-sufficient, self-sustaining, weaning ourselves off of the system in the way.
But wait a minute. I understand what you said about the self-sufficient, but the public school system don't teach our children to be self-sufficient.
So then we have to create our own schools.
Exactly. So we have to deprogram
our children. It's too many years that people have spent wasting trying to change. Why would we want to waste our energy? We need to just think about what it is that we want, focus on that, find out how each and every one of us can make a difference towards that. And there's so many wonderful people in Fresno doing some amazing things. And we have to focus on that. You're doing, what you're doing is amazing. You know, I don't know why somebody don't have a garden business right now saying, create a garden for you. I mean, we can really, Liberty, what we could really, really help each other out if we really want to. And maybe all this stuff happening, maybe it's going to make us want to. That would be a blessing.
Well, some people say thank God for Donald Trump.
That's okay. For that reason, right?
some
For that reason, you got to actually see.
Okay, wait a minute. We got 30. Okay, let me ask you. Do you have to go right now? Because we have like 30 more minutes on the show, and I want to be respectful to your time. I know you're very busy. But there, you know, we're live streaming right now, and because of your conversation, there's people right now saying that I feel bad for eating meat.
Good. That's the first change you can make.
But see, that's why I keep saying we have to have the conversation. It doesn't matter how hard it is, because we have been brainwashed in this country. I'm telling you right now. That's why I asked you the question earlier, what's the difference between cow milk, goat milk, and dog milk? So if the U.S. government would have said, okay, instead of using the cow, we're going to use the dog milk. We'd be buying dog milk in the store.
For the sleeping, but we are awakening. I really love to focus on people who are awakening. I do. That we already all know the problems out here. We all know it. So if we start to just wake up to say, okay, what's the first thing I'm going to do for myself? The first thing I'm going to do for myself when I wake up in the morning is make sure I got grapes, a pineapple. Something that comes from the earth is going to go in my mouth first. There's nothing in my refrigerator that's death. There's no death. There's nothing in my refrigerator that's death. And if you have to have proof as to whether or not eating that way is healthy,
okay,
all you got to do is think back to that rat meat back in the indigo.
Hold on. You keep saying something that I want to make sure I really understand what you're saying, because I don't know when we're going to get you back on the show, because I thought I was hard to catch up with. I think you got me beat. But you said this to me many a times, and you just said it again, and I need for you to expound, to go more deep into what I'm about to tell you, because it's once you explain it, and those who's listening on live stream and those coming back to the archive, you just said, when I open up my refrigerator, there's nothing dead in it. There's no death in my refrigerator. I mean, just as there's no death in my refrigerator. So the other day, I told you the other day I went to the Freedom School, right, to the farm,
mm-hmm.
and I picked meat bag. I picked two cabbages. I picked about two bags of collard greens. And I picked about a half a bag of kale. So I'm going to take that, wash that. I just pulled it from the ground, Mother Earth, right? I'm going to wash it, package it, put it in the refrigerator. You're saying that's life.
Now
wait a minute. Now, you know, Grandma back in the day when we got some collard greens and some mustard greens, we got to have us some salt pork and some neck bones and some oxtails and all.
Who gave them the neck bone, the oxtail, the intestines of the pig?
The capital industry gave them the neck bone. And so I'm going to
exactly.
go purchase it.
But the garden, we knew how to work the garden. We knew how to work the earth. We knew the earth. I saw my parents make little gardens in the back, but I really didn't connect with it. I was born and raised in Madeira. I didn't think anything pretty about the agriculture out there. I don't know why, because I was disconnected from the earth. As a young child, I was disconnected, and I thought being in the city would be the better way to live. And then over the years, I've really come to like just really love the earth, and I love the great fields, the
even when there's nothing there and the ground just grows organically, so you see that in the portrait. I love the earth. The one thing when I got to Belize, I fell in love with Belize because we flew over and it was so green everywhere, just life. It's beautiful. And we've gotten disconnected. And so if we get connected by saying, you know, when I wake up in the morning, I'm going to have me some fruit. I'm going to make sure, you know, I'm going to make sure my baby got their fruit. Be in love with each other versus serving some debt, something that had to go through, you know, not even like in our grandparents' day. You know, what the animals go through is nothing like that. You can just watch What the Health. There's Food, Inc. There's all kinds of documentaries. These people have risked their lives to tell us the truth. All you have to do is look at that and see, why would we want to put that on in the front of our children, in the front of our person that we love? When we have life to give, we have life to give. Let me give you life.
Okay. All right. Give me 2 minutes because I want you to expound on this. I went to the Freedom School, got me a bag, got me 2 heads of cabbage, half a bag of kale, all organic, and some collard greens. I come home, I wash them, I bag them, whatever. I put them in the refrigerator. Now, because of tradition, because of the miseducation, or just because that's what grandma, we had to eat, whatever. I go to the store. I go to the meat department. I go to the meat department, and I see all these packages of meat. Neck bones, collard greens, oxtails, chicken gizzard, tripe, what is that other one called? The intestines one. What is that called? The intestines. What do they call the one with the intestines?
Chitlins.
Yeah, some chitlins. You gotta give me some chitlins, okay? Now, I'm going to go buy, I'm going to buy it. I got a grocery
store. Literally where the shit, through the animal. Literally the shit area, yes.
Right. Okay. Right. That's what it was. Now, I'm going to buy
that.
Come home. I'm going to open them chitlins up, which is going to smell the whole house, because the reality is what it really does is it holds the waste, and now I'm going to put it in the sink. I'm going to clean it, right? And now I'm going to cook it and put that in my greens. Now, you just said earlier when I was listening to you, you said there's no death in my refrigerator. There's no death. You're saying that the meat that I just purchased from the store is death. Is that my understanding of what you're saying?
Well, is it to you? Or is it meat?
It's exactly what it is. So on the top shelf, I got life. On the bottom shelf, I got death. I mean, it's like, but my point is, since we've been talking, there's people on the Facebook right now said that I feel really bad for eating meat. They said, I feel really bad for eating meat because, again, it's a lack of education. I mean, it all stems from slavery. Because
not just slave, it all stems. Let me. I'll take it further than that. it all stems from when they came to conquer us. They did not know how to grow food. If you just watch the little live pilgrim story they told, that's what they said, that the Indians had to teach them how to grow the food. And then what did they do? Then they went ahead and they started conquering, moving from place to place, so they really couldn't establish no garden when you're moving from place to place. They have to take over the world. So what did they start doing? All these wonderful animals that served a purpose, all these wonderful animals that walked the earth that weren't mass murdered, they started killing those to survive because they didn't have no garden. This is just common sense. They didn't have no garden. Right? So then they established their place. They have slaves. Who were the slaves? The slaves are out there making the garden.
Right.
Well, let's go ahead and get them addicted to our food. And so what do they throw them? They throw them the scraps of what they were eating, which they were eating the animals of the earth because they didn't know how to make the garden. That's not in their DNA. But it's
right.
in ours. I had a doctor tell
right.
me specifically that the reason why I was having my health problems was because I was not eating the food that my ancestors ate. This was a doctor in Santa Barbara who did a lot of public speaking, well-known doctor out there. And he told me, point blank, the reason why I'm overweight, the reason why I was having the problems that I was having was because of me not eating the food my ancestors ate. You know what food I was addicted to? Cheese. And boy, did I have my government cheese back when they used to have cheese. The government fed us cheese, didn't they? They still do.
Girl, hush your mouth. Listen, we talked about that government cheese the other day. Listen, I don't know if you used to make them grilled cheese sandwiches.
I sure did with the bologna, and I'd make sure the cheese would be in between the bologna and it melted, and I'd also toast my bread. Oh, yeah, I could have one of those. but that was the point of the that, right? So
listen,
my point is, just when we go back putting life on our plate, that bad feeling, I'm sure there has to be any bad feeling from what we've done. We don't even need to acknowledge because it's not about what we've done. It's about what we can do.
Right,
today,
right.
If someone is encouraged, just one person is encouraged to say, you know what, I'm going to give myself the 7-day vegan challenge. That's from Ralph Smart. He has that 7-day vegan challenge he always talks about. I'm going to give myself 7 days to eat life. Let's see how I feel after. I can't tell nobody how to eat. What I speak is just from my own journey and from what I've seen and what I know works for me. But I've also heard people who told me, you know what, Denise, I stopped drinking milk and I don't have any problems anymore because I just couldn't get over it. You call it cow titty juice. My daughter and my kids would get so mad at me because I would tell their granny, my grandkids, oh, you want some of that cow titty juice? That's what that is. Might as well just put your mouth. You know, people talk about the colonizers and what they do with animals. You know, people talk about the colonizers. I'm gonna take it there. People talk about the colonizers and what they do with these animals, and there's some sick stuff they be doing. But what better are we if we put a gallon of milk in our shopping cart? How better are we than what they do with those animals? Because we're doing the same thing. The only difference is our lips are not to the cow tit. That's the only difference.
I don't mean to laugh, but it's just type of the way you put it. Man, it's so real. You know? I'm like picturing in my mind a adult down up under there sucking the cow. Anyway, all right, okay. We've had a good time here today. I really enjoyed the conversation.
Thank you for being open to it.
Before we leave, you know, we have, you know, pictures, your bio and what you sent me that went up there. What if someone wanted to contact you? How would they contact you if they want to
some services from you to take pictures of where? How do you have a website, Facebook? How can people contact you?
They could call me. They can friend me on Facebook. I have a DV3 photography page, D for Denise, V for Yvonne, but V is Victor because some people think V. And the number 3 are for my original inspiration, my 3, but also light, lens, and love. Those are the 3 things that produce art pieces when it comes to using the camera as your brush. So dv3art.com, you can go there. Just real simple, dv3art.com. That would be a good way. Or you can even do a Google search, DV3 photography, all one word, and something will pop up. I didn't mean it to be that way, but it's that way. So thank you. Thank you. And thank you, everyone. Like I said, I know some of this, I'm not for everyone, and I've accepted that. I'm not for everyone. But for that one person who says, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and see if this helps me. And if that person is now better, then the purpose is there. Purpose has been accomplished.
Well, I tell you, here we are once again at the end of our show. You're with Dr. Harris, Dr. Floyd D. Harris Jr. We just want to thank Denise for coming on our show today. We had a schedule conflict. We usually come on at 8 o'clock, but we wanted to accommodate her, or I wanted to accommodate her. You're with Dr. Harris, Black Lives Matter Show. We're broadcasting here from the San Joaquin Valley in the middle of California, better known as Mississippi Fresno. I've renamed my city to Mississippi Fresno. We just want to thank all of those who took the time out to follow us on the live stream. We also have a Facebook, Dr. Harris Black Lives Matter Facebook. Please visit that Facebook because I put all of our shows are archived. When this show is over, it's archived, and I post it on that website. Facebook, or rather, Dr. Harris Black Lives Matter Show. I will be building a website for the Black Lives Matter, Dr. Harris Black Lives Matter Show here. And so we just want to give shout-outs to all of you. It's the weekend. We know everybody's been working hard. Let's rebuild. Let's rebuild the Black community here in Fresno. Let's come together, those of like minds. Just a quick announcement here. On the 19th, I will be at the Freedom Center, 1106 West Woodward here in Fresno, California, 93706. I asked for 20 strong, not scared Black men to come and sit down and let's have a conversation. Let's dialogue, let's talk. See what we can do to help our young people in our community here with the violence, et cetera. I want to put this disclaimer out there. I do not roll with the police. They will not be there, so don't even think they're going to be, don't even show up. This is a grassroots movement. This is accountability. I'm putting it on our men right now. The women have are good leaders. We need them. They need us. But we need to be out in the community talking to our young people. On the 21st, we will designate a location, or locations where we will go out with resources, jobs, applications, or what have you, to have a conversation with our young people so that they can see us, we can see them. Build a relationship. That's what this is about, building relationships. These young men in our community are someone's sons or grandsons, and, you know, we should not be scared of our young people. And then also on the 17th, at the same location, the Freedom Center, we'll be having a 60 and above elderly circle. Again, this is the 60 and above folks who are coming together to organize and mobilize and seeing how we can go out in the community again. And to try to work with our young people. And then on the 21st, when we go out that Monday, that evening, we'll be having which is Dr. King holiday, that they march and do all that fake stuff downtown. we're going to be having a blackness celebration. We're going to have a blackness celebration at the same location, the Freedom Center. So all are welcome to come. It's open mic, networking, talking, loving one another, appreciating one another. This is not an event. We're going to be giving out event, proclamations and certificates. No, we want to celebrate us for the 400 years of oppression, depression, lynching, murder that our ancestors have been through in this country. And as Porky Pig said, bleep bleep. That's all, folks. And we'll see you Monday. Monday we'll be having our sister Tina McFadden. Tina McFadden will have on our show. We have another progressive sister here is doing a lot of good things in the community. I have a lot of respect for her. She's just another rose. Just light up like Denise. And so I'm going to say farewell to all of you. I usually play some music before we go off the show, but we're not going to do that today. I'm going to let you go early. Enjoy your weekend. We'll see you Monday at 8 o'clock. Please share our Facebook. You know my regular Facebook is Floyd Harris Jr., but please share the Facebook with the Dr. Harris Black Lives Matter Facebook so that we can get the word out in our community that we're mobilizing, organizing. I put on Facebook this morning or last night that, hey, progressive black people are coming together as one community with a lot of unity. And so that's what we're doing now. We love everybody, but we first have to love ourselves first. And this is Dr. Harris, 21st century revolutionary. No justice, no peace. Power to the people. Long live the guerrilla. Black Lives Matter.